And would you please stand? I'm sorry. Be seated.
Let us continue our worship. We would give to God our tithes and offerings. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we give to you this day because you gave to us so much. And in that gift, our life was transformed. And so we are free to give. In Christ's name, amen.
Turn to hymn number 155, please. 155.
Thank you.
131. Lo, how a rose are blooming.
100 to say, but this weekend's been kind of a blur for me. It's good to have my house full again. It's really been good having a little boy playing with trucks again. This song that we're going to sing this morning is one of my mom's favorites, and I wish, like her, I could sing all of the words without having to look at the words, but unfortunately I'm not that good with this song. But this song is, whenever I hear it, I think of Mom, and the fact that my wife and daughter also love to sing this song, you know, it's a tradition being passed down also. But I'm going to ask the last time through the chorus if you would join us with it, and I'll motion when you should join us. But it's "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem."
O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining far through the shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountains till the break of dawn, into the land of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a light. light to light the way unto the land of perfect day. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. O beautiful star, the hope of grace, for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Beautiful,
beautiful star,
star
of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Beautiful,
beautiful star,
star
of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the planned of perfect day. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Let's bow before the Lord. Father, again, we thank you that in this room you're here with us. That what happened on that Christmas was a reality. Beyond our comprehension, but the God of the universe, you became one of us. And you lived like we do. You struggled like we do. You felt the pains. You felt the loneliness. And then you felt the results of our sin, and you felt death. But in that, you conquered something. That was death. And that this Christmas is not just a celebration of the birth of Jesus, but a celebration of life. That you were born in the shadow of a cross, but also of an empty tomb. Lord, each one of us here walks through different valleys, and you know the fears, the hurts, the struggles, the unknowns. And we just pray for them. Hold them tight right now. Remind them that in the midst of where they're at, you're there. They may not see you. They may not feel you. But it doesn't change the reality of your presence and your promise to be there. And now this morning, as we continue to worship, may you just be the focus. In such a way that when we leave this place, that focus will stay with us throughout the week of Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen. Amen. With all the little ones, come up front now. Come on down. Have a seat. Got your cowboy boots on. Well, what is this? What is this? Microphone. That's right. What does it do? Okay, and what happens? Okay, so this makes noise? This makes noise? Okay, here, listen. Do you hear anything from this? Does this make noise? What makes noise? So what this does, I speak in here, and it picks it up, sends it down to this, then it sends a signal that you can't see through the air up there where that window is over there. See it? To an amplifier, receiver, then it goes to the amplifier, then it goes on wires, and it come out the speakers up here. And then we hear it. Now, question for you. Do you see the connection between here and there? Can you see it? Right here. You see anything right here? Is there a wire going there? Yeah. Where? No, from here. Is there a wire leaving this? No. So you can't see how this is connected, can you? Is it sending an invisible signal that you can't see? But you can hear it, right? Now, when it comes to prayer, prayer is kind of like that. When we pray, is there a wire between us and God? The answer is no. But is there an invisible connection between us and Him? The answer is, you got it, buddy. Just like this. I can't see it, but it's there, isn't it? I can't see that connection with God, but it's there, isn't it? Okay, so I want us to, now we're going to pray. Fold your hands. Let's pray. Jesus, there's a connection right now that you hear us. We don't see how, but we know it's real. Pray for each one of our young folks up here, that you would help them talk with you every day. Remind them that you are their best friend. And all that they go through, you're with them. When they play, when they're in school, when they laugh, when they cry, you are there. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You got it. You head that way on out. If you would, from the book of Matthew, we read in chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your awesome presence here. Thank you for the joy. May we this day worship you, hear from your word, and be changed. Amen. Larry, I am not working down here this morning, but I don't have many slides there, so I'll tell you when to switch it. Would that be okay? Okay, so go ahead and put it on the next slide. You know, when it comes to Christmas, most thing that goes through our minds is gifts. And the beginning of that, these magi, these wise guys, the wise men, they were the ones who started it all. And I would like us to look at what they did and learn something from them about gifts. First, I'd like to know a couple of things about these gifts that these guys gave. First of all, what they gave personally. You know, they were wealthy men. They were from another country. In fact, they were from Iraq. You know, they could have sent their gift ahead. They could have sent one of their ambassadors to take the gift to the king. But they didn't. These wealthy men came themselves. And in fact, we read that through the story here that was a personal gift. Verse 2, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 9, they went their way. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Verse 11, they came into the house, opening their treasure, they fell down and worshiped him. The second thing I noticed about the gift, that it was given properly. And what I mean by properly, what they gave was more than just gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was a gift that was connected with praise, adoration, honor, and worship. Now, there are three kinds of gifts I think we can give at Christmas. Larry, first gift that we can give at Christmas time is a gift for a gift for a gift. Now, what is that? Well, you all know what that is. It's a type of gift that you get a gift from somebody, and you haven't given them a gift. And because you got a gift from them, you feel guilty, and now that you need to go out and get them a gift, to give them a gift for a gift, gift. And I would reckon on Christmas Eve, stores across the country are crowded with people in the store buying gifts for gifts, for a gift. Because they feel like I got to give something in return. Now there's another type. It's a gift for a favor. This is a person that gives a gift, and they really are expecting something in return. I give you a gift, and because I give you a gift, I don't really expect a gift back, but it's an IOU, that now you owe me something. And I will remind you that you owe me in little subtle ways. And especially if you do something to make me upset or let me down, I will remind you I gave you a gift. And there's a third type of gift. It's the gift of grace, a grace gift. Now, that concept, that word, comes from what God did for us, that Jesus Christ came into this world, and through his grace, the grace of God, something we cannot earn, we do not deserve, he loved us and he bought us. And it's a grace gift, is a gift that there's no way you can repay it. And there's a couple of things about a grace gift. One, it's impossible to measure the cost of a grace gift. It's impossible. I enjoy reading Reader's Digest. I have loved Reader's Digest for years. And Mickey and I hadn't been married many years, maybe about 4 or 5 years. And Mickey's father, my father-in-law, he noticed whenever we were home at their place, I read the Reader's Digest. And then all of a sudden, I started to get Reader's Digest once a month in the mail. And for the past probably 20-some years plus, we've gotten Reader's Digest in the mail because of a gift from her father. Now, was that an expensive gift? The answer is no. But it was a gift, it was a grace gift, that because he knew I enjoyed it, he bought it for me without saying anything. And Nikki and I will never, ever read another Reader's Digest without remembering her dad. Another grace gift that we experienced was back in 2009. 2009, Mickey and I decided to take a leave of absence from the pastorate. I got a job training dogs for the blind, not too far from our hometown, and that's where we're going to go live. Now, going there to do that, a couple of things came into play. One, my income would be much less. Second, we didn't know where we were going to live. We also, at the time, had two boys in college, plus Abby at home. Now, Mickey's one brother owned a house right outside our hometown, and her other brother rented it from him. And he was single, and he was on the road a lot. So the two of them talked, and they came to us. And they said, listen, this house is where you're going to live. For as long as you need to live, you're living there. And there will be no cost whatsoever as long as you need to be there. That was a grace gift. It wasn't the amount, but was that something that we needed desperately. And he gave it. That's a grace gift. A gift that comes out of the love from somebody for you and with no strings attached, just because they love you. And us too needs to give grace gifts. No strings attached. Just because it is something someone else needs or is something that makes someone else feel good. Something else, something about these grace gifts is that they're usually non-material. It's not the material thing that makes the grace gift so special. One father had a little girl, and she wanted him to read to her every night and wanted daddy to come to her bedroom and when she climbed in bed to read a book. And if any of you had little children that are around that age, you'll remember that you read the same book every night. I mean, one fish, red fish, two fish, well, how'd that go in Africa? Blue fish. Oh, that's a nightmare. Read that book so many times. And then you know when you're doing that, I would start falling asleep sometime, I would get something missed, or try to skip pages. They know it. And you got to read every word. Even if you skip a line, they know it. And you love your child, but it does drive you crazy, doesn't it? The Cat in the Hat's great once or twice. Well, this little girl, every night her father had to do that. And so the father got thinking, you know, she wants the same book read every night. So what I will do, he thought, I will record me reading the book. And I will show her how to use the recording, have it upstairs, so she can go to bed and she can listen to it, and she can listen to it as many times as she wants to. So he showed her how to use it, tucked her in bed, and said, you can turn it on when you're ready, and went downstairs. And he waited, and he could hear it turned on. So he said, everything's taken care of. So he goes down and sits in his easy chair, and he's reading there. And pretty soon he hears footsteps. And here she comes. And she climbs up on his lap with the book. And he goes, what, the tape recorder not working? No, it's working, Daddy. Well, what's the problem then? Can't you hear it? I can hear it, Daddy. But Daddy, the recording has words, but no touch. No touch. A grace gift is non-material. And it's usually a togetherness gift. Also, besides being a togetherness gift, grace gifts are often service gifts. It was the year 1926 in Alaska, and a little boy was suffering with the symptoms of diphtheria. They became concerned because it signaled the possibility of an outbreak. The doctor in that community began to give shots to the people that would avoid them from catching it. The little boy died, and he ran out of serum, though. And so most of the people in that village did not have the anti-diarrhea serum in them. The possibility, it was really a probability, that most of that community could be wiped out. There was only one problem, major problem, though. There was more of this medicine, but it was over 1,000 miles away, and it was in the wintertime in Alaska. So what happened? Communication was made, and some other trappers and such and prospectors, they formed a group, and with their dog sleds, they went across that distance nonstop to get that serum and bring it back. And those people were saved. You know, every year they have a race in Alaska, which is in memory of this event. And it's harsh. It's rugged. Why did they do it? It was a grace gift. It was not really a material gift. It was a gift of their service. And they saved hundreds of lives. These men also teach us four things about giving. Larry? One, give an unexpected gift to someone. You know, no one expected these wise men to do what they did. Nobody. You know, they're not Jews. They have nothing in this. All they have done is heard about it. They've heard about it through the skies. I mean, you talk about surprise that these guys from so far away who were not Jews would come all that distance to this child. Totally unexpected. They travel literally weeks, months to get there. No one expected that. And the best gifts are gifts that are totally unexpected. You know, in your life, there's been folks who have done some special things for you. And they don't expect anything in return. But you know what they do need? They do. They need to know that you still appreciate it. They don't expect it, but it means the world to them. I encourage you right now, and I have a blank there in your notes. Think for a minute about a name. Someone who needs an unexpected gift from you. I'm going to do it completely out of the blue. I mean, they're not going to expect anything from me. And when they get it, it's just going to be a grace gift. I mean, it's just going to be you doing something for somebody completely unexpected with nothing expected in return. And you know, sometimes it may not be a physical gift. It may be a gift of just really thinking back. This person changed my life and made a big difference to me. And you call them up and say, I want to say something to you. I remember this, and it still touches me today. And I again want to tell you thank you for that. As I was putting this together, it reminded me, and I got teary-eyed, of my brother-in-law's. So you know what I did? I picked up the phone and to call them. I had a hard time talking to them Because if you've ever been to the point where you don't know about your family for sure, and somebody steps in, and you have nothing to worry about. And so I called him up again. And so I'm going to tell you, thank you. Thank you. And they got teary-eyed. I know that, well, Chuck, you're more than welcome. We just did it because you're family. I go, that's beside the point. Thank you so much. Do that. Think of somebody. Give that unexpected gift for what they have done for you. They don't expect it. They don't think you owe it to them. But give it. Second thing we learn, give a gift with genuine joy. When they gave this gift, they did it with such joy. I mean, they rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced when they saw Mary. They rejoiced when they gave those gifts. They could hardly wait to do it. It was giving of joy. In our home at Christmas time, we have a little decoration we hang up that is one of Mickey's favorite, least favorites. And when the boys were little, we used to go and I would have them buy a Christmas tree ornament every year for Mickey. And one year they found this pig dressed as Santa standing on his scales. Now what they saw, oh, that's so cute with a pig dressed as Santa. They didn't see that it was really a pig. I mean, and on a scales, and what that was saying. And they were so excited about that. And when they gave it to me, they were so, so excited about that gift. And Mickey was such a great, great mother that she's so excited, too, about this gift that hinted that you were fat and needed to lose weight, which they didn't mean that at all, and which she wasn't, but yet. But the joy overshadowed the gift. So every Christmas, guess what goes on the tree? And that ornament reminds us every year of the joy in our boys' hearts when they gave it. Give gifts with genuine joy. Next, their gift was personal. Give a gift that's personal. A missionary was over in Africa years ago, and he'd been sharing with the people he was working with, his tribes folks, that how on Christmas time, that in their culture, you know, we gave gifts. And it came close to Christmas, and this one gentleman was gone for a few days, number of days. When he came back, on Christmas Day, he gave this missionary this beautiful shell. And the missionary said, that is beautiful, but this shell I know is only located at a bay that is, and he mentioned the miles, just a long, long ways off. He said, you traveled that far to get that gift, this shell for me? And he said the native looked back at him with a smile on his face, saying, and said, long walk. Part of gift. Give a gift that's personal. And last, next, give a gift that lasts forever. First of all, give gifts of good memories. You know, every material thing that you give somebody, you know what eventually happens to it? It wears out, it breaks, it needs to be thrown away. But the gift of good memories stay. And it walks with them throughout their whole life. We have a habit on Christmas time. We started this when the boys were little. We have a king-size bed. And before I was married, I had that king-size bed. And that king-size bed slept me and two dogs. After I got married, that changed. The dogs got kicked out. I thought I was going to go with them at first, but I have a wife that understands grace. So what we did on Christmas morning, even when they were little, we started that. We bring them in the bedroom, and before we did anything else, we would all read the Christmas story together and have prayer. Eventually, there was two of them. Came in the bedroom, same thing, every Christmas morning. Eventually, there were three of them every Christmas morning. And at one time when the boys were in high school, we had a German exchange student. And Christmas morning, the boys would not allow him not to. He's in bed with us. And the following year, we had a South Korean exchange student. And they're very reserved. And he was really freaking out. But the boys wouldn't allow that to happen. We're all in bed. And even today, if the kids that are home with us on Christmas morning, before anything happens, we all climb in bed and read the Christmas story. Memories. And those memories live on and on and on. Give gifts that last forever. Give good memories. Next, a gift that will last forever is a godly heritage. Give them that in your family. Give your neighbors, your friends that from you. Some of you may be familiar with John Wesley. John Wesley was really the founder of Methodism. And when you say Methodism, we're looking at the whole holiness movement, which we are a part of. And it happened in England. And we hear the story of Wesley had his heart strangely warmed. And from that, Wesley began to develop this fantastic movement of God as God worked through him. And it changed all of England. Many historians would say that England avoided what France had, which was an ugly, ugly revolution. England avoided that because of the Wesleyan movement. That as it swept through England, hearts were changed. And when hearts were changed, things changed. Child labor laws went in. You know, the slavery was changed. All those things happened. An ugly revolution and people dying and being killed didn't have to happen because hearts were changed. Now, Wesley was this phenomenal man of God. But why? When you read his history, you begin to understand. Wesley had a phenomenal mother that spent time with her children and laying down that godly heritage. She had 10 children, and she schooled them all. And she made a point, though, that each week, each of the children got 1 hour of private time with her. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but you figure it out, that's 10 hours, plus other things in life. And all through their lives, they did that. And she would spend time with them in prayer, going over the scriptures with them. And even in Wesley, when he was an adult, when he would write letters back to his mother, he would write back, "Mom, remember me on my Thursday hour." This laid down such a godly heritage that this man had such a foundation for God to work with that changed England. Give your family a godly heritage. And last, give that gift now. Don't wait. Samuel Jackson said this, "He who waits to do a good deed of good all at once will never do anything." Do it now. Don't wait. Do it. Are there people you want to give those special gifts to? Do it now. Do it now. go home, build some memories with him. The most important thing you can give your family is time. Go home, write that letter you should have wrote. Make that phone call you should make. Give a hug. Tell someone how special they are to you. Don't wait. Do it now. These wise men, don't hear much about them really, but they teach us a lot about giving. May we follow that example. And this Christmas, give in the same spirit as those wise men. Let's pray. Father, we can get so lost in the hustle and bustle. I mean, you go in the mall and the shopping center, the people are buying and the stacks of toys and the list goes on and on. And then afterwards, they got these credit card debts they got to pay. You can pay for those Christmas, which produces so much tension within the home, within the family. And all of that going on, the main thing is missed out on. And it's people. It's relationships. You didn't come into this world to give us new clothing. You came into this world to give us you. May we give that same gift, not only this year, but next year, and not just at Christmas, but every day. Give that gift of ourselves. And not wait to say, I'll get to it someday. But do it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Please stand and turn your hymn page to 151. 151 in the hymnal. Please stand. It came upon the midnight clear.
Thank you.
now as you go, may the grace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you. May his arms just hold you tight. And may you go forth and give gifts that are gracious with joy. And do it now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.